1 Samuel 26, a whole chapter. Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah opposite Yeshimon?" And Saul arose and went down into the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Yeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all round him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth. I will not have to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As Yahweh lives, Yahweh shall strike him. Or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. Yahweh forbid that I should stretch out my hand against Yahweh's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw or knew it, or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. And David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill far off, a great distance being between them. And David called out to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Do you not answer, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you calling out to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As Yahweh lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, Yahweh's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was by his head." Then Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son, David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now, therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If Yahweh has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before Yahweh, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of Yahweh, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of Yahweh. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." David answered and said, "Here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May Yahweh repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Yahweh delivered you into my hand today. But I would not stretch out my hand against Yahweh's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of Yahweh. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the Ziphites do what Ziphites do, which is try to get in with, good with the king, by giving him information to track down and kill David. This is the second time that they've done this. Then we have Saul camping by the city and David out in the wilderness. And the whole camp is all around Saul. So Saul is at the center of the camp. And you've got this great big multitude that is sleeping around him, and I'm sure in Saul's mind that's pretty safe because it would be impossible to get through there without somebody being awake or startling awake or noticing something with that many people to get through. And the closer they got to him, the more David and his men would be unable to get through, because as soon as the camp woke up, David and his men would be surrounded by the camp, and he could have his goal and execute David. Probably why Ahimelech the Hittite did not volunteer to go in when David said to Ahimelech and Abishai, who will go with me. Abishai volunteers, but Abishai thinks it's a destruction mission, not a burglary. But David's intent is to burgle the spear, and the jug of water. And you have this great big military setup, and it's similar to when the whole city of Jericho knew that the Israelites were going to come. And we know that they knew because Rahab says so, and Jericho was terrified. And you have this great big military setup. And the question is the same as Joshua asks the angel of the Lord, who stands before him between outside the city of Jericho right before that battle. Are you for us or for our enemies? And the question that this chapter is really giving answers for on the lips of David is Yahweh for David or for Saul? And the answer is no. Yahweh is for himself. That's what Abishai didn't understand. That's why when Abishai says, this is the day that Yahweh has made, let us rejoice and spear Saul in it. And David says, nope, because you cannot raise your hand against Yahweh's anointed. Be guiltless, verse 9. You cannot raise your hand against Yahweh's anointed. Stretch out your hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless. And David is probably actually talking about himself as Yahweh's anointed here. Remember, there are two who are anointed of Yahweh in this chapter. David was anointed several chapters ago, I think back in chapter 16 or so. And his confidence that the Lord will do what he has said through the anointing he's not just confident that the Lord will do it, but he's also confident that God will repay Saul for his guilt in stretching his hand out against David. And it's possible, as they're having this conversation in the middle of the camp, with all the people asleep, that David is looking at the spear and remembering that that spear multiple times has been stuck in the wall by his head or by his thorax. Thank God Saul's aim was off. We don't know where it was off, but David escaped all the times. And he's remembering, this is a man who has stretched his hand out against me, who I am Yahweh's anointed, and Yahweh will take care of him however Yahweh wants to do it. And he tells Abishai, three possibilities. I don't know how Yahweh is going to kill him, but he's going to kill him. He's certain that God is going to kill Saul, because Saul has done the very thing that David is tempted to do right now. And so the first thing is that our obligation is not to bring about the Lord's plan, but to obey the Lord's commands. Very important for us. We are tempted all the time to take the place of God in our lives and try to bring about the result that we want, instead of just thinking about what is right. Oh, if I do this, then she'll say that or she'll do that. No. Just what does the Lord say about the situation? And do that. And let the Lord figure out what he's going to do with it. He's going to do what is right concerning others. And he will avenge us. David is confident that the Lord will avenge him. And then David also puts his trust in the Lord and not in men. You notice that when Saul says, "Oh, my son David, return to me," "My life was precious in your eyes, your life will be precious in my eyes too," David's response is not symmetrical. He says, "Oh, yes, your life was precious in my eyes because you are Yahweh's anointed, and may my life be precious in Yahweh's eyes. I don't trust my life to be precious in your eyes, Saul, but I do trust my life to be precious in the eyes of the Lord. Let Yahweh be the one who repays righteousness and faithfulness. I don't want you to repay me. You do what you will, but the reward that I am looking to is the one that the Lord himself will give." And remember that when things are going well between you and others, perhaps it's someone who has been against you, and they see that you have been kind and had integrity towards them and not treated them the way that they have treated you. And they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I see now that I was wrong. Come on, let's be friends again." Well, you can be friendly towards them, but don't put your trust in them. Be like David, say, "I wasn't looking to you for my reward for being faithful and kind and not repaying evil for evil. I was looking to the Lord, and I'm still looking to the Lord." And then you'll have enough wisdom to, when they stick out their hand to say, "Okay, let's go back to the palace," you say, "You go on ahead," and then you go back out to the wilderness where you were. Right? Isn't that what we see David do at the end of the passage? Saul, at the beginning of verse 21, the main idea of what he had told David was, "Return, my son David." But in the end of the chapter, David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. And so he looks to Yahweh for his reward. So your obligation is to the Lord. You trust in Yahweh to bring out about the outcomes that are wise in his eyes. Your job isn't to bring about his plan. Your job is to obey his commands. And then in the third place, as you follow him by his grace, you look to him for your reward and not to others. Let others do what they will, but let the Lord repay you. And not so much for your righteousness and your faithfulness, although there are rewards for those good works that are done only by grace, only by Christ living in you. But remember that repayment by grace is really a repayment that Christ has earned. Let Yahweh repay Christ for his righteousness and his faithfulness as he gives you rewards that are in accord with the works that Christ produces in you. So very helpful, again, throughout this entire section of 1 Samuel, how to trust in the Lord, how to rest in Christ and deal with enemies. I know that several of you have been thinking through these things. Lord, Holy Spirit bring to mind this portion of his word and the teaching of it, so that you can trust in Christ and follow his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that if necessary, you can cause a deep sleep to fall upon an entire army so that we don't wake them up. But we thank you more than that, that we know that you are the one with whom we must ultimately deal and primarily deal. Help us, Lord, not to try to bring about our plan or your plan, but instead to follow your commands. We do look to you to repay us, to reward us for what Christ has done in our behalf, and for what we, by his grace and in union with him, are enabled by your Spirit to do. Help us, Lord, not to fear the enmity of man, nor to hope in the friendship of man, but to receive all as good from your hand. And help us to have tender conscience, that even when it's easy for us to rationalize, that you have given us this opportunity to take an advantage, that we would be unwilling because we are determined to just keep trusting in you. We thank you for what you did in David, but we thank you most of all that what you were doing in David came from who your son, the Lord Jesus, is and what he is like, and that it is his perfection that you have counted for us. And so we ask these things through him, and your children here say, Amen.